It is Locked On Jazz for the 26th of August. The passing of Tom Nasalky, the U.S. team losing, and the summer interview series continues. Eric Woodard talks 2019-20 Jazz and Donovan Mitchell. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan throughout the offseason. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. It's a lot has taken place since we talked. Tom Nasalky passed away. I spent some time over at a little ceremony for him. They'll do the official funeral and services coming up in a little bit, but it was nice to see his family this weekend. A lot of old friends around. Tom was a very, very important person in my life. Not only, you know, for he was the first ever Utah Jazz coach. He was, you know, frankly, he took over with Frank. Then he did radio with me. We had great success together. And I was, you know, a young 25 to 28 year old while working with Tom, and he was able to give me, had kids that were a little older than I was at the time and able to give me some great guidance. A really good man, a little bit of a very thoughtful person, maybe in some ways a little ahead of his time, just in the amount of different things he was interested in. Owned Green Street with a group, very interested in music and different things of that nature. Heard some great stories about the more recent years of when he would, there was a theater in the apartment building that he lived in, and he'd hold kind of jazz nights where people would sit around with him and watch jazz games. You know, just really a genuinely good man, gave me some really important pieces of advice in life. One of them I've shared with many, many people is he told me there'll be two times in your life when you're hot, when you're in demand, and how you make those decisions in that time frame will largely dictate where your career goes. And what you really should be doing in all other decisions is making sure that you're still primed and have all your options when that time comes. So for me, actually, he was one of the main reasons why I ended up moving to Seattle, quite honestly. I walked through that decision with Tom. We were number one in the country at the time, ratings-wise, and he said, I can't tell you whether this is the right move for you, but if you don't, you know, if you don't move on now and advance your career, probably going to be difficult, you know, in future steps. And so he was a large reason, very supportive of helping me make the decision to move to Seattle and then move beyond that. The other interesting angle on that thought process, by the way, is that I think sometimes, you know, maybe your instinct is you'll get hot more than twice. But the other angle on that one is that maybe you do only get hot twice, and that then you should become comfortable and content while still working hard to where you are at the time instead of always searching and on the quest for the third time that you get hot. Maybe that's an unrealistic thing and you make a lot of mistakes in that regard. I don't know. That's just a thought of possibly what might be how this all works out. I'll only learn more as time goes on. I still hopefully am learning every day. So anyway, really wanted to send my best to Tom and his family, Holly, and his son, Tommy Jr. It was nice to see everybody. Saw Ronnie Mack and a lot of old friends of that era for me. And you know, I would share, I have some, in all honesty, I have some regret. I did not do a very good job since coming back of staying engaged and in touch with Tom. My life, you know, is busy and doing things, and as we often do. So if you have that person out there in your life that's your version of Tom Nasalky, I would suggest that reach back out, reconnect. You know, I have some regret that I did not connect with him as well as I should have over the last 8 years. So if I can relay that, I would do so for you. I certainly wish in retrospect, I think many people do, and you don't want to be that way when someone passes. So that thought for you. USA basketball beat Canada today. lost to Australia over the weekend. The fun part is that Joe was great. The really big story, frankly, of the day, from reading Twitter, this is not basketball at all, but I feel almost stupid talking about basketball when this was on Twitter this morning, is I guess that Joe's autistic son said mom for the first time. Jacob has not done a lot of speech stuff, and there's this just incredibly moving post from Renee Ingles today. In that regard, so it feels silly to be talking about how great Joe was, but Joe really played point guard exclusively in that game for Australia in the exhibition game, and led them to the win over the U.S. U.S. beat Canada this morning, and then now it gets going. It will be interesting to see. It does not feel as though the U.S. is just going to roll through this, does it? It feels as though this could be a real challenge for them. And from a Jazz standpoint, pretty interesting for us. There are three teams in which our guy is probably as important to their team as anyone. No question, Rudy in France. Joe is as important to anyone in Canada, the way they're using him, and good for us. Joe will be ready to go. And Donovan is... it's Donovan and Kemba's show. Donovan played the most minutes of anyone tonight. These guys, it's going to slow... the negative side of this is that it will slow down a little bit of what the Jazz probably do early in camp. But again... maybe not so much. Conley, Bogdanovich, Moutier, Green, Davis are the ones who need to learn the system and what they're doing. And so if Rudy and Donovan and Joe are taking it a little easy, probably not the end of the world or that big of a negative impact on it. It will have some impact there. I'm not going to give a bunch of basketball analysis of the rosters and the makeup. I'm not sure I have that for you. Maybe as we get a little bit closer. Fun one for you before Eric Woodyard joins us. Very fun conversation with Eric of Deseret News. You can send him a thank you at @E_Woodyard. He is just great. It was a really easy conversation. We talked for an hour yesterday. It was easy. NBA 2K20 team ratings are out. Maybe this is as good a prediction system as there is. Clippers are number one at 78.7. Lakers are two at 78.3. Jazz are third at 78.2. Nuggets are fourth at 78.1. Warriors are fifth at 77.7. The Brooklyn Nets are the best, probably because they have Durant in the rating system. Then the 76ers, the Blazers, the Celtics, the Spurs, the Rockets all the way down to 11th. The Bucks, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Pacers. The Knicks are actually half decent. The Raptors are below them. Detroit's much lower in the 2K. So that's your NBA 2K20 team ratings. I'm not sure I'd go to Vegas with those. But again, the Jazz are up near the top, so that's awfully fun. In that regard. All right, so Eric Woodyard joins us for the summer interview series. If you've not, last week we had a really good time on the summer interview series with Craig Bowlerjack, and the week before that we had Tony Jones, and the week before that we had Thurl Bailey, and then Andy Larson and Ron Boone. So those are all available for you if you're checking back in with everything. There was a note that we've actually maxed out our training camp roster that came across Slam today. We have 12 guaranteed contracts, 2 non-guaranteed, 2 two-way deals, and 4 Exhibit 10. So our Exhibit 10s are Stanton Kidd, William Howard, Juwan Moore, and Trevor Blouette. Our two-way contracts are Justin Wright Foreman and Jarrell Brantley. Brantley is in town working right now. And our non-guaranteed, we have really 14 guaranteed contracts on the roster: Conley, Gobert, Bogdanovich, Ingles, Exum, Davis, Mitchell, Bradley, Green, Moutier, Nigel Williams-Goss, Mia Oney, George Niang, and Royce O'Neal are partially guaranteed, but those guys will be on the roster. So training camp roster is pretty well set. 20 guys, that's who we'll see here, and a lot of them are in town working as we speak. All right, I want to make sure we got that across. I think you guys all knew that. Eric Woodyard coming up in just a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homey. You see the funny bright teal billboards around town. You've heard me talk about how you can hire Homey to sell your house and save thousands. You may not know that a licensed local Homie agent can also help you buy any home. So why would you use Homie? Well, Homie is going to give you $5,000 back to help with closing costs and fees. Homie will refund up to $5,000 back so you can buy more home with your money. If you want to find out more, just text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. They'll connect you with a Homie agent who will find your dream house, tour houses, and do it. A lot of people think Homie, think it's free to buy a home, but it's not. The money you pay for your home is used to pay the seller, their agent, and whoever the agent chooses to hire. Homie is giving you $5,000 back in that regard. Text LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. Time for the summer interview series. And last year, this was the win. Everyone loved this interview, so excited to do it again. It's Eric Woodyard of the Deseret News. And last year, we told your story, and people loved it, Eric. We don't need to do it again, but it was interesting to watch the reaction to kind of the human behind the writing last year.
Yeah, it was. I was pretty shocked. You know, I got a lot of followers, and I knew you were a big time man, but that let me know.
Oh, jeez.
You know, that level, man. So, yeah, I appreciate it. That was a fun conversation last year.
All right, so let's get into it. This is a different Jazz basketball team, obviously. What do you think in the opening 10-12 games will be the biggest difference watching this team than what we've watched in years past?
Obviously, they got to stay healthy, you know, through training camp and everything like that, and coming to the season healthy. You know, they started off last year with Hollow Neto starting right out, you know, with a hamstring injury. So I think coming into the season healthy, they got another tough start. But, I mean, trying to get at least, I would try to say, you know, be over 500, you know, those first 10 games and not come out of struggle like they had the last 2 years. So I think as long as they start the season strong, I think you'll see, you know, possibly some all-stars on the team. It's all about that start, man. We know we talked about this before. You know, that kind of creates a narrative on the season by how they start off. So I think that's to be seen. We got to see what's going to happen. But I think if they start off with a 500 record, you know, maybe 7 wins out of 10 or something like that, get off to a hot start, I think, you know, that could really kind of create the narrative for them this year and even help with all-star bids and stuff like that.
Do you think it will be most noticeable that Donovan has help? Do you think it'll be most noticeable that they have a different type of point guard? Do you think it'll be most noticeable that the floor is spread? Like, what do you think watching them is going to jump out at us early?
I think, obviously, that, you know, spreading with the point guard position. I think Donovan not taking on so much of a load, I think that'll be number one. I mean, we saw his usage rate crazy last year just because of, you know, the load he had to take on offensively. I don't think he'll have to struggle as much to score. I mean, that was kind of the narrative last year when it started, is his slow start is because he took on so much of a role and he had to work his way into shape throughout the beginning of the season. So I think you know, that'll be right apparent. Obviously, the point guard play, what would the starting lineup be? I mean, it's been a lot of speculation, but we don't know what Quinn is going to do with that starting lineup. So it's going to be a lot of unknowns as well. I mean, we can speculate, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is just them coming in the year healthy, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen too.
what is your guess on the starting lineup?
You know, we've been hearing so many different things. I think just a guess. I would think you would put Donovan, Mike Conley, Bogdanovich, Ingles, and Gobert. I think kind of going, you know, positionless ball a little bit with that smaller lineup. I think that would be fun, but you never know. Quinn might switch it up. You could bring Joe Ingles off the bench. You could start Royce O'Neal. There's so many different ways you can go. I'm not sure. You know, that's just an educated guess. I would think that, you know, Ingles would start, but you never know.
I'm a big believer. I've talked about this in the summer interview series with the other guys. I just believe in putting your best five players on the floor. Like, it took me a grand total of like 3 minutes with you to get into analytics, but it's just like a really basic math equation to me. If it's your five best players and they're on the floor and you know they're going to be on the floor for the first 6 minutes of the first and third quarter, that's a lot of the game. And if they're not, it gets really difficult to get them on the floor for large periods of time. Like, I think people would be stunned if they dug into how few minutes most five-man units ever play together. And so start your best five guys.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I see that. But you also want to have some firepower off the bench. So, You know, you never know. You want to have that second unit strong as well. So I can see both ways behind it, you know. And I agree with you, start the best five. But I can see if they were to bring Ingles off the bench, you know, bring him in and having another playmaker off the, you know, off the bench and coming in. We still need to see that out of Dante Exum. We don't know about Moutier yet. So, I mean, I can see if Quinn wants to switch it up, but I see both sides to it.
You know, what's interesting is the talk so much of the time has been about the second unit and how Ingles will work in that second unit. And a lot of people obviously have taken Joe out of the starting lineup to do that. I actually think the answer on that one is Bogdanovich is the leader of the second unit. What he proved last year when Oladipo was out is that he can carry an offense by himself and average, or be the lead guy and average 20 points a game in that time period. He would be the one, if I would think, that you have lead the second unit as the primary scorer. That's not actually something Joe does well, is be a primary scorer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, we saw that last year. I don't think he wants to be a primary scorer. You know, I think Joe is a great player. He's an underrated playmaker. A lot of people don't, I mean, he gets a lot of praise for his shooting, but his playmaking, and we saw him in a lot of pick and roll situations with Derek Favors last year, and I think he's a very underrated playmaker. I mean, people, like I said, talk about his shooting all the time. But yeah, I mean, I can see that Bogdanovich coming off the bench. But like I said, I don't know. I'm excited to see what's going to happen as well and how they gel as well. I mean, on paper, it seems like they should gel their personalities and everything. But on the court, you know, they have to see how they play. And we haven't saw it yet. So it's going to be a lot of things that need to be ironed out. But I think that's a good problem to have. They got a lot of talent, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Let me be clear. I don't know if I would take Bogdanovich off the bench. He would just be the one I might circle out back.
Yeah.
Right? Like
I understand.
If I'm going to play a Moutier, Exum, Ed Davis, Jeff Green, I think Bogdanovich is the guy I want in there who can carry the load offensively the way he did in the second half of the season in Indiana. It's funny on Bogdanovich, Eric. I have to be honest. I had to kind of go back and watch him, and I probably need to go watch more. He's a player I've always been impressed by, but when we signed him and I had to think about, well, how do they use him? What do they do with him? I'm not sure I had a good answer on that at all.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, we felt locked in on the Jazz, and we see other teams when they come in and play them, and you know, scout them a little bit, you know, to know what we're talking about. But we're not watching them on a day to day basis, so that's a total different thing. So I'm just as curious as you, myself. I mean, you can watch film, but you know, also him being in the system, him being with new teammates, he was put in a situation where he kind of overachieved last year. Now it's a little bit of expectation. It's going to be a lot to watch out for with him. You know, because like you say, we haven't watched him consistently at all. And I'm pretty sure people outside of the Indiana market last year probably didn't either. So it's just a lot of unknowns. We saw his numbers and what he did. But, you know, like I said, I'm interested to see a little more about him as well.
Last 30 games of the year last year, he shot 51% from the field, 42% from three, averaged 21 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists a game.
You know, that's great numbers. It's great numbers, but that's him being a number one option. Obviously, Oladipo was out. Total different situation. So, I mean, it'd be you wouldn't expect him to do that in Utah at all. So.
No, but the capability.
What option is he? Yeah.
Well, I think he probably becomes the second. I think he has a chance of being the second option. I mean, I think Conley slides into the third option spot, picks his spots, and you know, late in games, Conley probably becomes the number one option, then creating for other people.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's like I can't put him over Conley just yet. Conley is, you know, proving himself a lot more in this league, and. Yeah, I mean, I can't put him over Conley just yet. I got to see him a little more. I mean, yeah, we know he had a great season last year, but, you know, I got to see what he's going to do, you know, now when a little more is expected out of him coming into the year. So,
we'll talk about the Mike Conley impact and just zero in on Donovan as he moves into his third year. It's Eric Woodard. He is the Deseret News Jazz writer. Great dude. Glad to have him with us as we continue the summer interview series. And really, we need to make sure that you tell like 5 friends about this so that Eric gets more listens than Tony Jones, because we can't have Tony Jones thinking that he's actually the most popular guy out there. That's the truth of it all. Coming back with more with Eric as we continue the summer interview series here on Locked On Jazz. NFL fans, the season is about to begin. Remember, every Wednesday on the Locked On Podcast Network, the Wednesday crossover Wednesdays will be back. The entire NFL season, special episodes every Wednesday on the NFL channel with the hosts from the opposing sides. Meet up to preview the excitement of the game happening that week. Find out for your favorite team wherever you get your podcast, but be sure to not miss the favorite segment of the week, crossover Wednesdays. Today's show brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. That's right. The guys at Murdoch Chevy have great things going on right now. All sorts of super deals running out this summer in for the August at Chevy. The Equinox, which I drove for a long time, $219 per month with a lease on a 2019 Equinox. The Silverado Crew Cab, that truck is awesome. I've given out the secret here, by the way. Having driven the Silverado Chevy, all these big truck owners with their big muscles and everything about that is like the lazy boy chair of like trucks. It is so comfortable, so posh. It's seriously like a Four Seasons Ritz-Carlton, and these guys are trying to make you think they're muddy and tough. Not true. That Silverado, it can pull the world, but it is the nicest, smoothest, most comfortable ride. 0% APR for 72 months on the 2019 Silverado Crew Cab. That's 0% APR for 72 months. These offers are all good through the end of the month. Celebrate the 93rd anniversary. Every new vehicle purchased will get a complimentary lifetime oil changes. It is Murdoch Chevy, 93 years in Utah, with Murdoch and the Chevy brand, all part of Utah and the history of this state. Make sure you go check it out. Murdoch Chevy, both in Logan and in Woods Cross. Eric, let's just get to the simplest thing out there. How good do you think Donovan Mitchell is?
I think he'll take a major leap this year. I think we saw him in USA. I was down there for training camp, and he looked like he was in great shape. He just has a different zest to him and a different bounce to him. I think last year it was a lot of pressure on him going into the year, and you can kind of see it weighing on him, whether he's said it or not, you know, from being around him a lot. It just felt like it was a lot of pressure weighing on him to come in right away and, you know, just put this team into a championship caliber. I mean, some people were predicting the Jazz high as the 1 or 2 seed last year. I don't think people forget stuff quickly, but if you look at a lot of those early, you know, predictions, a lot of people was putting the Jazz right up there to be, you know, championship contenders almost. So it sounds like he's a lot more relaxed this year. Obviously, he's healthy. So I think he'll have a really great year. I think he'll have a shot at being an all-star this year.
What is it about his game that you think will take the jump?
Decision making. Defensively, he probably can lock in on defense a little more because he won't have to focus as much and have as much load on an offensive end. And I think you'll see him a lot more efficient.
You've got to know him a little bit. I think you may understand him as a person. It's an interesting thing to watch, frankly. You have a kindergartner now. Congratulations. I've got older kids.
I appreciate it.
I mean, he's closer in age to my kids than he is to me. So I certainly look at Donovan in that realm. But what's your thought? I mean, he's politically active now, the gun violence comment on his shoes. He's always been community related. Last night, he's chiming in as we record this on a Sunday about Andrew Luck. Like, he's out there pretty far. How comfortable do you think he is being out there that far?
I think he's very comfortable with it. He's been doing that from the jump, from his rookie season. And even when the young lady in Utah, Laura McCluskey,
yep,
or something like that, that was,
yep,
shot by the guy, you know, if you can remember, he wrote her name on a sticker. So that stuff that he's been doing, been going, you know, surprising people at barbecues. And I think it's just him being himself. I don't think he really puts too much into it. I think it's just him being himself. And just now he has a much larger platform. So, you know, I don't know him before he came into the league, but since he's coming to the league, I mean, that's things that he's been doing from the jump. So, I mean, giving out the shoes, and I don't think it's really known for publicity. I think it's just him being him, and, I mean, it's just now he's getting better, and a lot more media attention is coming along with it.
You know what I find most interesting about it? I'm old, so I've been doing this for 25-plus years. Some of the guys I've been around didn't know who they were, right? Like, Alex Rodriguez, mm-hmm, to me is actually the greatest example. I think he may have found himself now. But when I covered Alex Rodriguez in Seattle, he was a superstar. And he had been a superstar since 14 years old, and he had no idea who he was. I would say the same thing about Carlos Boozer, actually. Carlos Boozer had been such a big deal, he couldn't find himself. I feel like what you just commented about Donovan is what's most interesting about him, is that he seems to know who he is in the midst of all this. It's not being driven. Certainly Adidas is behind a lot of it because they want the promotion, but I never feel like he's being pushed. Frankly, I was with Sue Bird, who Nike was pushing in all sorts of places we now know she didn't want to be. And so to watch that in contrast to the comfort level Donovan seems to have right now to me is really interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, I think obviously he has a push behind him, but he does know who he is. I think early on he was, you know, more so taken aback by, like, people were that interested in his life and him because, you know, he wasn't an All-American. He wasn't the top recruit or even a top pick. And I think he kind of grew into the role. And I think he even put too much pressure on himself last year because he felt like, you know, people looked at him a certain way. But once he settled down, you know, around, like, January, you saw him really starting to, you know, just things were coming a lot more comfortable to him. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's just him being him. You know, the guy is, you know, from the time I've been around, you talked about my kindergartner, my son. This is a personal story. Even after the Detroit Pistons game, I was just talking to him casually after, we were on a road trip, and I was talking to him casually, you know, just anticipating, you know, us going to Michigan. Obviously, I'm from Flint, so, you know, anticipating the Jazz coming to play the Pistons. And I was telling him, yeah, I'm going to bring my son. You know, he had met my son before, time before. And then so after the Pistons game, he walks up to me and takes his jersey. I'm like, dude, like, you know what I'm saying? I can't keep your jersey. He's like, no, I'll give it to my little man and bring him in the locker room. So that's just like the type of person he is, man. He just, you know, a giver and, you know, thinks about others. And that's something my son don't understand now. But, you know, once he get older, he'll understand. So just little things like that, man. That's just the type of person he is.
It's a great story. What do you think? I want to separate this question on floor and off floor because I have an opinion on one of them I'll share with you after you're done. But let's go off floor. What do you think Mike Conley does for Donovan Mitchell off the floor?
Off the floor, that's tough to say because I've only met Mike the one time, well, a couple of times, but since he's been with the Jazz that one time. Very, very strong faith-based family. Grew up in a two-parent home. Donovan didn't grow up like super, super tough. I mean, he wasn't nobody's perfect, but he didn't grow up in like the hood or nothing like that. But as far as off the course, I don't really know what. Like, Donovan already is a strong minded and grounded person. I think more so just providing that, this kind of still on the court though, just kind of giving him that comfort a little bit and not, you know, pressing the issue a lot, you know, and not putting too much pressure on himself. I think Conley would be good for that. Because he's been in, I think he has more experience than Donovan. Ricky Rubio had more experience, but not like playoff experience. They both went through the playoff journey together. So Mike Conley brings something totally different to the table as far as the mindset, a leadership mindset, a leadership quality, being calm at all times. I think that's something that'll bleed over into Donovan, just that calmness, that, you know, ability to stay level-headed in those situations and knowing that he's been there before. I mean, that's a total different aspect of playing basketball when you know somebody's been through the grit and the grind and they can kind of relate that to you. So I think that's what Conley will bring.
You bring up two really interesting points there. One, Rubio is a great guy. Donovan had a great relationship with him. There was never a moment where Donovan looked at Rubio and thought Rubio might be better than him. Right?
No, I don't think so.
There is, Donovan may look at Mike Conley and be like, okay, there's parts of him that are better than me, right? Like Mike Conley's
right.
That's a big difference in how you're listening and communicating and taking in information. I think that's, you bring up a really good point in that regard.
Right.
The second one is how similar their upbringings are. I had never thought about this. I mean, Mike Conley's dad is a gold medalist triple jumper, right? And so he's a professional athlete, basically raised in a kind of similar economic stratosphere to what Donovan was raised in, whose dad was a former professional athlete working in professional athletics. Both of them were raised around the game, whatever the game might have been, being with exposure to athletes. Nothing of this, maybe the reason both of them are so incredibly comfortable in this role is that nothing about this surprises them.
Right. They can humanize it. You know, they both, like you said, they've been around it their whole life. You know, if you take a kid who's used to it, you know, it's just like they're not going to make many mistakes. Like, knock on wood, you know, I can't see Donovan doing nothing stupid off the court, because he probably learned from, you know, so many others who have made dumb decisions, and his dad beating it in his head and his mom and everything, and then Mike Conley as well. I mean, his guy has been, knock on wood as well, I don't wish nothing bad on these guys at all, but these guys have been model citizens in the community, things like that, and just understand it. They get it. And that could be from, you know, watching other athletes and seeing mistakes they make and seeing things they want to do and things they don't. So I think that could have played a role in it too. You never know.
All right. Well, I'm excited for the Deseret News story. You've always been so creative with your stories. You can do better than ideas I give you, but I'm excited to hear, I'm excited to see that story about the upbringing similarities and how it's brought them together at some point. He's Eric Woodyard. He writes for the Deseret News, does awesome work. We're really excited to have him with us for the summer interview series this week. Remember, Locked On NBA is still churning an episode out every single day because there is no off season for the true fan. And all your NFL coverage is going as well as we get closer to the opening of the NFL season. It's all in the Locked On Podcast Network. More with Eric coming up on Wednesday's edition of Locked On Jazz.